Just a couple of years ago, municipal wireless internet access burst onto the scene full of promises. Like plumbing or electricity, we were told that Wi-Fi would soon be a 21st century urban expectation for everyone, everywhere. Wirelessness would foster entrepreneurship, a more educated and connected populace, and perhaps most important, a bridge across the divide between those who can afford to join the internet revolution and those who can't. Now, nearly all the plans for wireless cities have fizzled, including San Francisco's. But this week, at least a small part of that dream was salvaged by Brewster Kahle, director of the nonprofit Internet Archive. Welcome back, Brewster.
Thank you very much.
What you did was you turned on internet access last Tuesday, to approximately 260 apartments in the Valencia Gardens public housing project. Does this mean that they got access which they never had before?
Yes, the whole housing development got access to the internet, and everybody got it at 50 times the speed that a DSL or cable user would get. So it's the envy of San Francisco. The fastest residential internet access is to the least served individuals in San Francisco.
They're getting this super fast service. How?
The enabling technology, there's a couple of them. One is by having a housing system that has wires to the rooms, which is great. But San Francisco's also put in a municipal fiber. So the city itself owns a fiber that runs around to the schools, libraries, public housing, all through the city. And by our lighting that up, anybody that connects to that fiber is suddenly on the internet at super high speeds.
How much faster is it than the next fastest internet access?
Well, a DSL is usually 1 megabit or 2 megabits per second, and a cable modem, I've never seen them go over 5 or 6 megabits. This starts 20 times faster than that at 100 megabits and goes up to 1 gigabit, which is 10 times faster than that. This would even be the envy in Japan and Korea.
Are the residents of Valencia Gardens who don't have computers out of luck?
For people that don't have computers inside their units, there's a computer center that they can go down and use shared machines and also training. So it's really part of a full outreach program. Ours is just one piece of a set of nonprofits. Let's think of it as the rise of the .orgs.
Have any of the companies that provide competing internet access services, phone companies or cable companies, complained about what you were doing?
No. In general, everybody's looking at it fairly closely. They haven't found a model that works. What people tried to do, it seemed, is make it so that a Wi-Fi signal would make it into everybody's living room. And that's fantastically expensive. So we have to come up with a different idea. And the way that we did this, and the reason why we think it's going to work this time, is we're only going to do part of it. We're just going to do the backbone. And we can get the backbone built very inexpensively by just having a dozen sites around San Francisco that are well-located access points. Then if people can get to those with their own equipment or with, you know, ISPs going and saying, hey, I'm going to get your apartment building online on this system as well, that would be perfectly fine with us. There's enough money if you go and cut it that way that I'm hoping that the commercial guys don't try to shut us down.
So what you're hoping is that you can set the standard for the city. The commercial companies can come in after you and supply that last inch to the people who can afford to buy it, and they'll leave your housing projects alone.
Yes.
And they'll be enjoying better service than the San Franciscans who log in on Knob Hill. What does it mean that in this case, the last shall be first?
Isn't it the best? We could have done this for the rest of San Francisco, but the structures around our telecom infrastructure and cable infrastructure just haven't been really providing what it is the internet really could be doing, which is much, much higher speed, much more interesting services for everybody. And we needed some place to go and demonstrate it. And I'm very glad that it's actually in low-income housing.
Once you start serving the rich, is the competition going to suddenly start complaining or wanting to step in?
Oh, absolutely. I think that we're kind of given a free ride at this moment by the entrenched players because we're doing city services. So that allows us to get this fiber and not have that gun down. If we can go and cut this up right, then I think everybody's looking for a much bigger pie to share.
You run an organization called the Internet Archive, and its name explains it. You are trying to archive the entire Internet, preserve every page. Is there any connection between that project and this one?
Absolutely. Our motto is universal access to all knowledge. And so we're trying to work with all knowledge by going and gathering the World Wide Web, digitizing thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of books. We have movies, music. But how can we go and get all of these materials that are coming from libraries, the web pages, to everybody? And the idea of having gigabit networks throughout our cities, throughout our rural areas, are going to be crucial towards having the great library we're all building together be accessible at all.
Brewster, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Brewster Kahle is the director and co-founder of the Internet Archive.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.